What about, you mentioned Iressa, and in the last 6 months, we've seen a lot of exciting data evolve in terms of the EGFR mutation. What's the difference between what they saw there and how it predicted a response and the kinds of things that you've been measuring?
I will never be able to predict that from my kinds of studies. So what they did was very smart. They basically sequenced the EGFR receptor. So that is a different thing. So gene expression arrays look at perhaps a whole human genome in a small chip, and you can find genes that are up or down, but they do not look at a particular gene. So if you want to look at a particular gene, you have to sequence it. In the case of Iressa, they sequenced the EGFR mutation, and they were lucky because they had people who responded extremely well to Iressa, and so they were able to find this mutation. I think that's extremely exciting.
But sort of pathophysiologically, how does what they found and sort of the reason it explained, presumably, why in these patients they had great responses, how does that sort of fit in with the kinds of things that you're finding? In other words, you're finding that, I guess, certain things mark for stimulating, basically, are they just empiric correlations with tumor response? Is that what you're finding?
No, I mean, I think for Herceptin, we're staying in the realm of targeted therapies.
Okay.
For Herceptin, I think that there will be particular pathways that will predict response or non-response to Herceptin, for example, P10. There was a nice, interesting article recently published that P10 is associated with Herceptin sensitivity and resistance.
What is P10?
P10 is an oncogene. And so it is part of the survival pathway. And it affects AKT survival. So that fits in very well with what we found in vivo with Herceptin. So that pathway is correct. So what I'm trying to say is that in the near future, there will be more markers of sensitivity and resistance to Herceptin. Now, it may not be one gene, like P10. It will probably be several of these gene and gene products. But we probably will be able to get there. Now, Iressa is slightly different. I think a missense mutation is slightly different. This is an aberrancy within the receptor that makes it exquisitely sensitive. It's different, for example, for Herceptin. As far as we are aware, in breast cancer, there are no mutations or variations that we are aware of. Now, obviously, this can change. But to date, people have looked to see whether there are mutations within the HER2 itself that will make it sensitive or resistant. And to date, there has not been any found. Of course, this could change.
Now, I'm presuming that the reason that Herceptin causes apoptosis is through its effect on the HER2. How does that happen?
So basically, when it binds to HER2, basically, it fires off, it goes down the survival pathway, AKT blocks survival path signals. So when you block the survival signal, the cell undergoes programmed cell death. And what I mean by survival is AKT apoptosis.
But apoptosis itself is an active mechanism, is that right?
It's an active mechanism, yes.
What actually causes the cell to die?
Oh, chemotherapy works through the same way. So anything that if you insult a cell enough, a cancer cell, any cell, it can do two things. It will try basically to survive, okay? So it will have all the signals to try and survive, and it will try to proliferate. So these two, when you insult a cell, it will try to grow, it will try to divide itself, and it will also try to survive. And depending on the type of insult, you can either predominantly affect cell cycling, proliferation, or you can affect its ability to survive. If it fails to survive, it dies, and that's apoptosis.